Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Philadelphia, for the fourth time in the last 5 years, goes out in the Eastern Conference semis.
We wanted to see if we had enough time to put it together, and clearly we did not.
We tried to build a championship contender team so fast. We just came up a little short.
The goal was to win a championship, and they didn't happen. We all were not good enough.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com. I'm Malika Andrews, and anyone who watches the show on a regular basis, you know that one of my rules is unless there is news surrounding a team, we only talk about the teams that are still playing. The 76ers, they are no longer one of those teams. But I'm going to put a little caveat on my rule because today is our day that we're going to put a bow on their season. And over the next 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, we'll get to the team still playing. We're going to ask three pressing questions surrounding Philadelphia. So one of those questions is with Joel Embiid. That's where we need to start. Another season that ended with an early playoff exit. So what exactly do the Sixers need to do this offseason to keep Joel Embiid happy before the process runs out in Philadelphia, right? So what did the loss to the Heat mean for Doc Rivers' future? That's question number two. The Philly faithful, they're starting to turn up the heat on Doc's seat. So will he make it to his third season with the 76ers? And a question that I've asked, I truly think, no less than 100 billion times on this show. What's next for James Harden and his extension? Daryl Morey addressed that very question moments ago.
Look, James is a great player. Like, I don't think we need to get he has the ability to score, pass. I'm excited for Doc and his staff to have a whole offseason, work with the players versus, obviously, because of our circumstances, you know, having it all come together in February makes it very difficult. I mean,
and we also made a trade, guys, this year that, you know, once you make that trade, you add the talent, but then, you know, three goes out, one goes, you know, it does hurt your bench a little bit. And we understood that when we did it, but we thought it was the right thing to do for the long term.
So Harden's eligible to sign the largest contract in NBA history, $270 million over 5 years this offseason from the 76ers. But according to our Bobby Marks, a five-year, $150 million contract with partial guarantees in year five, that could make a little bit more sense for both sides. Harden would make less than his $47.4 million player option in year one, but he'd guarantee himself an additional $71 million overall in the first 4 years of that deal. All right, everyone with me joined on set here by current Timberwolves player, Patrick Beverley, Pat Bev. We have Matt Barnes and senior writer Ramona Shelburne. Kendrick Perkins is going to be by shortly. But Ramona, nobody explains this Harden situation better than you. What are you hearing as the next step in this process?
Well, the first step here is he's got a player option June 29th.
Right.
$47.4 million. Pat, that's 1 year. 1 year. That's like a whole contract, right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
$47.4 million by June 29th. But my expectation is that the Sixers go to him and say, hey, that's a lot of money, and obviously to get the 270, you have to pick up the player option, and then they do an extension off of that. But from where he is in his career, and also based on what he said last night.
Yep.
He said, I'll work with the team, and I'll do whatever it takes to build a team that can win here. There are some very creative options that they can play with. If he does not pick up that player option, there is they can do a deal that's more like 4 for $120, which is still $30 million a year, or what Bobby suggested. But there is an option, Malika, and they'd have to get creative, but there's an option where they could create a second or third max slot deal.
Ooh.
If he were willing to work with them on a much shorter or less expensive deal, it would also involve a trade to Tobias Harris in that spot. But there's an option where you could bring a third star to Philly.
Right.
If James Harden was truly willing to work with them in the way that he said last night.
So there's so many options that are on the table. And Pat, you and James were teammates for a long time. What do you think the best step forward is for James and for the 76ers here?
You got to let us see it through. I believe you have to let it see it through. As far as money is wise, get a boy whatever he's asking for. Unfortunately, it might sound kind of crazy, but there's no one in the league that can kind of do what he can do still at this time right now. So you pay him, you give Doc, you know, give Doc a chance to do his thing against a healthy team upcoming this year. Maybe you get a couple more pieces, maybe a defender here, maybe a pit bull dog type of guy this offseason, and see where the dominoes fall at the end of that year.
What do you think, Matt?
I've been a big fan of James. You know, this whole playoff series, I've been holding out for that one game that we're going to see James come back to being James, and I don't think he did. To me, I think you got to play the creative side. I think that Max, with all due respect, the way he's kind of come downhill just off maybe 2 years ago. Shannon Sharpe said something crazy. I laughed, but he said it seems like James is aging in dog years. You know, 1 year is 7 years, so I don't want to take it that far. But there has been a – and partly because he set the bar so high. This guy is a 34, 12, and 8 guy just 2 years ago. You know what I mean? So for him, he's still at like 19, 9, and 7, which are crazy numbers still. So as far as superstar and being able to carry a team, I don't know if he's there. But I do believe that they need to run it back. I do believe with those two and a possibility of adding one more Max through creativity and surrounding them with some shooters, they still have something there.
All right, I want to bring Big Perk into this conversation. Kendrick, what is your message to James Harden?
What is my message to James Harden? It's two words, trust and loyalty, okay? And the trust is that he's going to make sure he do everything that he needs to do this offseason to come back in tip-top shape, to come back ready. And I'm not saying the James Harden that we saw with the Houston Rockets, but at least come back a tier under that, okay? And then when I talk about the loyalty part of it, don't need you coming in backstabbing Doc. Don't need you going to Daryl Morey. Don't need the whispers behind Doc Rivers' back. Doc Rivers need to be able to coach with a clear head, knowing that his team, including James Harden, is all the way in. The fact that they had a players' meeting today spoke volumes about everything that's going on, you know, and they're going to bring Doc back next year. So that goes to show me that it's already talks in the works. And at the end of the day, you know, this is not James' team. This is Joel Embiid's team. So for James, it's all about the trust factor that he's going to do the right thing, not be out hanging out, doing all that, getting your body right, and then the loyalty factor. Don't be getting behind Doc back and, you know, with those hidden agendas, really want Mike D'Antoni and did what he did last night in the second half and quit on Doc Rivers.
All right, let's get to Doc Rivers. Doc and Daryl Morey spoke earlier today. Let's take a listen to that.
Can you assure the people of Philadelphia and us here that the head coach will be back next year?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Now a different question.
Okay.
You get one.
All right.
I just think he's a great coach. He's a great coach. I love working with him. I feel like I'm learning from him.
All right. So we just heard from Daryl that Doc will be back. Ramona, is this the end?
Listen, everyone I talk to in the league expects this to be one to watch. This is a situation that over the next couple of weeks, I think everybody will be watching very closely because, like, as you know, there's still two head coaching jobs that are open in the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Doc Rivers is under contract for 3 more years here in Philadelphia. It's a lot of money that's left on his deal. Makes about $8 million a year. So obviously Doc would want to coach and wants all that money one way or another. So Daryl's saying the right thing here. I thought it was good that they had a united showing there. But everyone around the league that I talked to said, let's keep an eye on this one.
All right, Matt, Pat, and Perk, you all played for Doc for a combined 11 and a half years. So, Perk, I'm going to start with you. What's the best resolution for Doc in Philadelphia here?
To be honest, I was hoping Doc would go in a different direction. And for the reasons that I brought up for us with the James Harden and Daryl Morey, their relationship. You know, at the end of the day, man, when I look at Doc, I don't know how Pat Bev and Matt feel about Doc, but with me, I watch him be loyal to so many people, and I watch Doc Rivers get stabbed in the back so many times. And this is, you know, I just hate to see it for him. I just want him to be in a situation where, one, his players is going to have his back. He's going to be allowed to be the best version of Doc Rivers. And I would like to say this. Before James Harden got there, it wasn't pressure on Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers had that team playing great basketball. Joel Embiid was playing at his, some of the best basketball of his career, to be honest. So I love Doc being able to coach Joel Embiid and their relationship, but I would rather him be somewhere else because I really just don't trust Daryl Morey and James Harden at this point.
Doc is a great motivational, give you energy type coach. I mean, the one thing that sticks with me my whole career was when he told, you know, be a star in your role. Doc is great at these sound bites that'll get you going. But it seems like every situation he's been in, a few years in, there starts to be a similar narrative. Guys are starting to tune him out. Guys aren't listening. He's making too many moves. With the Clippers, he had like four or five different hats on, so he was trying to win and bring players in and sign players and do all this other kind of stuff. There seems to be the similar narrative once Doc gets somewhere that, you know, the first few years it looks good and, you know, rah, 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 but then shortly after that, it always seems to turn out to the same situation. So I'm going to just leave it at that.
No, I'm going to add a little bit to that. I got totally faith in Doc. I think he's done a great job with this team from the beginning to the end. We're not having this conversation if Joel Embiid is healthy the first two games. Let's not jump too far. You know what I'm saying? All the stuff that he had going with Ben Simmons to be able to be a coach in this league and go through all that and still be successful with trades, without your main guy, without one of the best defensive players out there, and still have a chance to compete for a championship. Your main player, he's not there two games. I mean, just take a break a little bit and give Doc a lot of credit, man. He's done a great job with this team this year.
Pat, you mentioned Joel Embiid. So for the second straight season, he finished second in MVP voting, but was also eliminated before the conference finals. So what can the Sixers do to keep him happy in Philadelphia? Take a listen.
Maybe we didn't have enough time all together. Maybe we just wasn't good enough. I just know that we just wasn't tough enough. At this point, we should need anybody to motivate us.
You still have faith in his coaching staff and his front office?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But the players also got to do their jobs. Everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. Là, je dois s'assurer que j'aurai une chirurgie. That's my guy. It's my brother. I still don't know how we let him go. I wish I could have gone to battle with him.
Thank you, guys. Have a great summer.
Ramona, you've done extensive reporting around Joel Embiid and the 76ers. What needs to happen here to keep Joel happy?
I mean, the time is now, right? He's 28 years old. He's in the middle of his prime. He did sign a long-term extension with them. He signed a 5-year extension with the Sixers, so he's under contract for a long time. I know from having spoken to Joel, he wants to play his whole career in Philly. He loves it there. Would love to bring a championship there. But losing the second round, I mean, he gave a quote that reminded me a little of a Kobe Bryant quote that, Matt, I think you were a part of this team. Any year you don't win is, that's it. It's a waste, right? And, in one hand, he says, I wish Jimmy Butler was still my teammate, and I can't believe we let him go. And then very later on in that press conference, he says he's not the same James Harden as we saw in Houston. I mean, those are pretty strong quotes.
Yeah,
those are pretty strong, even though he delivered it in an understated way. Those
after
are pretty strong
a loss, though, after a big
after
loss.
After a loss, you're right.
So you have to gauge the emotion.
Yep.
Gauge the emotion before we jump ahead again. I mean, I just think as anyone, you lose a game, you're frustrated, you know. But do I wish I played with some of my old teammates? For sure, but is that the situation now? No. As a superstar, like he is, or any star in your role, my Barnes put it with Doc, you got to make it happen.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You got to make it happen, and he has to.
How do you process that with, on the one hand, thinking about some of those old teammates because you've been in the situation, but also knowing that this is the group you have and you want to move forward with? What's the push-pull there?
No, you got to get better, whatever that is. Look yourself in the mirror first. See what you could have done. Of course, health was a big part of it. Getting James halfway through the season, him not healthy, again, helps a big part of it. Like Perk said, best thing he said was work on your body. And you just summon to work on everybody's bodies and come back to the round table and see how it goes.
So, Matt, knowing that, what say you?
I think Embiid said everything he was supposed to say as a leader of that team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He didn't want to give anyone bullet bull material or take shots at anyone because they had a bad experience doing that last year with Ben Simmons. But at the same time, to me, he sounds very unconfident about management and the moves they've made. Obviously, I'm not the only one that thought Now, them choosing Jimmy Butler over Tobias Harris wasn't a very good move. Then you get rid of all his shooting, which, you know, Joel Embiid needs space. You get rid of the J.J. Redicks and the other guys like that. So I think, obviously, his loyalty, he's going to want to be in Philly. Philly loves him and would love to keep him. But I think management has to step up to the plate and really start building around him. Before, they were building around Ben Simmons. And when Embiid has always been the best player on that team. So now you really got to start building around him and figure out what you need to do to put pieces around him to make him successful, because he's doing everything he absolutely can to get this team where they've been. Granted, like Pat said, you know, injuries played a big part in this year's playoffs, but this guy's been a monster. He's played through a broken face and a thumb he's going to have surgery on, so he's done what he needs to do. They need to start helping him from a front office standpoint.
And obviously, we saw Danny Green as well last night go down with a knee injury. The Athletic is now reporting that he has a torn ACL. For the 76ers. I promised 15 minutes. That was 15 minutes and 17 seconds. Hey. So, still to come on NBA Today, we'll ask our panel what they think is wrong with Chris Paul these last couple of games. Do not miss that conversation. And Giannis and Drew, they mounted an amazing comeback in Milwaukee for Game 5 for Milwaukee. Do our experts see that series ending tonight? If that happens, awaiting them in the conference finals will be Bam Adebayo, and he joins us to talk about all things Miami. That's next as NBA Today rolls on.
I'm Bam Adebayo, and you're watching NBA Today.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere. And in part by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
A lot of our guys on our team are overlooked, getting it out the mud. We excel from that. We all got that chip.
And my boys make major moves. Still the same ones that I came with.
Denied! Bam Adebayo flexing his defensive muscle.
This time, I'm on the grind. Oh, I'm shining. Nothing can stop me.
Bam's the ultimate winner.
It's the playoffs. You get on that big stage, you just got to make big plays.
I was just giving my all. I'm taking it there.
Fresh off his Miami Heat squad dispatching the Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat are now the first team to earn a spot in the conference finals. I am joined by the big man that's holding it down in South Beach, Bam Adebayo. Welcome to NBA Today, my friend.
How you doing?
I'm so glad that you're here with us. We're just going to dive right in. Between getting the one seed, advancing to the conference finals, it's been an impressive run that you all have been on this year. But why do you believe that this is the Miami Heat's year?
We have a good mixture of vets, guys who've won, and then youth. And then you have coaching also, the history of the sport. So that's why I feel like we have, you know, this is our, like, best year of winning.
Your team awaits the winner of Bucks Celtics. Would any part of you relish in the opportunity to take on Milwaukee if they do advance, just to kind of be able to wash that taste out of your mouth from last year's sweep?
Yeah, of course. But, it doesn't matter which one, in our opinion. You know, we're prepared, we're ready. Everybody's playing at a high level right now. So we're just waiting to see who we play.
You see who you play. You mentioned that you don't care who it is. On the flip side, though, Boston does have the Defensive Player of the Year in Marcus Smart, an award that you played your way into the conversation for. We all know that Heat culture, it's all about playing for championships. But would there be any sort of extra motivation on both sides to revenge the sweep and then to maybe have a defensive play on the Defensive Player of the Year?
Nah, that's his award. But, you know, it's just the Boston between me and Jason. It's a guy I almost grew up with, playing and competing against him. So that would be the other side.
Would you be texting with him during the series, or is it like no communication? We're friends outside the lines. No talking?
I'm not talking.
So game six, will you be watching that as a group tonight to see who you're going to take on?
Not as a group. I feel like everybody, you know, will be with our families and everybody will be watching. But we'll all be paying close attention to, you know, tendencies, schemes, the pace, and little things like that.
Let's talk about your teammate, Jimmy Butler. He's playing at an incredibly high level this postseason. It might be his best ever. Do you think that it's his best ever that he's been playing at?
No, because what he was doing in the bubble was unreal.
Yeah.
And especially to the finals. So this is runner-up right now.
This is runner-up. So that's a little extra motivation for him, and he probably knows that. But what is it about his play right now that allows you all to click on all cylinders?
I mean, he's just he's being an all-around player right now. You know, he's defending at a high level. You know, he's scoring at a high level. You know, getting guys open, rebounding, and, you know, just really being Jimmy Butler. You know, he's just being himself. He's letting his game speak for him, and he's performing.
I know that Jimmy told our friend George Sedano that there's not going to be any big face conference finals discounts. It's still full price. But you told me in the bubble that you wanted him to start making donuts. Have you had any luck with that?
No.
Is he still pushing for it, though?
Nah, I gave up.
You gave up. You're just trying to get that discount now. Now it's just about getting it. Can you please give it to him two for $10 as opposed to a $20 cup?
Yeah, he's overpricing what his car.
We'll make sure to let him know. Maybe if you get to the finals, then that's when the discounts come in handy. Thank you so much, Bam Adebayo, for joining us here on NBA Today.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
This man said, you're welcome. Still ahead, the man always has a smile on his face. How Giannis has ascended to the king of dad jokes? Yeah, you heard that correctly. And a couple of folks who know Chris Paul very well are on the show, Matt Barnes and Pat Bev, on why CP has disappeared a bit these last couple of games. Plus, we'll of course preview tonight's game six between Memphis and Golden State. What can we expect next in this roller coaster of a series as NBA Today continues?
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com. The Celtics, the Bucks, Game 6 is tonight right here on ESPN. And what a series it has been. Remember, Game 1 in Boston, the Bucks, they started off the series strong. Giannis put up triple-double, just manhandling the Celtics off the backboard to himself. Brad Stevens, he couldn't even stay to watch the whole thing. The Bucks take Game 1. So then on to Game 2, this is where the Celtics respond. Jaylen Brown breaks Grayson Allen's ankle. Sorry, Grayson. He went for 30. The Celtics made 20 threes. The Bucks, they only made 3. So the Celtics, they win Game 2, 109-86, which brings us to Game 3. We're in Pfizer Forum at this point. Giannis, he put up a cool 42 points, including a go-ahead bucket with 44 seconds left. And then the Celtics, remember, they had a chance to send it to OT. Marcus Smart, it went perfectly, but they just couldn't quite get the tip in time. So the Bucks win Game 3, 103-101. Game 4, that's when Giannis dunked on Al Horford. And then stared him down afterwards, and Al Horford goes, okay, bet.
I'm going to take that personally. And so then we go ahead to the fourth quarter where he gets his revenge. Horford and Jason Tatum, they both went for 30 that night, and the Celtics won game four, 116 to 108. Which brings us to the all-important game five. So the Bucks, they overcame a 14-point deficit in the fourth. Look at Bobby Portis here. A clutch put back off that missed free throw to give the Bucks a lead. And then on the other end, I'm not going to say Jrue Holiday. I'm going to say Pat Connaughton, Pat Beverly. Mm-hmm. Clutch defensive play, and then this seals it. Ooh. Jrue Holiday gets the steal, and that would be all that she wrote. So we'll pose the question to the folks that played and are still playing the game at a very high level. Hey, look, Perk's back.
Hey, Perk.
True or false? The Bucks advance tonight. Pat, starting with you.
True.
Okay, Matt.
False.
Oh, tiebreaker Perk?
You know what? I picked the Celtics in seven, but because of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the great thing about being on television is I could switch whenever I want. I got the Bucks ending it tonight. Giannis Antetokounmpo scares me. And when we talk about game six, the only game six I can remember is last year, game six in the finals, and how he closed that out in good fashion. I thought the Celtics dropped the ball, losing at home, being up 14. And right now, Giannis is giving me that LeBron James vibe where no matter how good your team is, he is going to be in the way of you, especially when it comes down to the Eastern Conference.
Ramona?
I will also say the Bucks are going to end it. They just have that sparkle to them. They won a championship. They're making championship plays. I picked the Celtics as well, Perk, but I think they end it tonight. I think the Bucks end it.
Giannis has that look in his eyes like he's focused. All right. I've got a question.
I look at you because you picked the Bucks. Look at you.
Hey, Perk, we finally agree on something too, man. There you go.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. You have to look at the positives of everything. It's a start of something.
Okay. I've got a question for you guys, though, and I have a question for everyone at home. Think about this one for a second.
Okay.
All right. Why is the calendar afraid? Because its days are numbered. You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, not feeling that one. All right, how about this one, Pat?
You sold it.
Why do dads take an extra pair of socks with them when they go golfing? In case they get a hole in one. See, that one's funny. Thank you. All right, I tried. I can't compete with y'all.
Matt just got it.
Matt took it.
I got it. I didn't want to get it.
I'm proud of you, Matt. All right. I can't compete with Giannis, clearly, when it comes to dad jokes. And if you don't believe me, just take a listen.
It can feel like an ordeal, endured at best, if not avoided entirely.
Both teams play hard.
Let's face it, seems like not everyone enjoys the post-game press conference.
Be better tomorrow.
But
let's open that with a joke.
Giannis Antetokounmpo isn't like anyone, and when he sits down at the microphone, the Bucks superstar turns into your parents.
What do you call a cow on the floor? Anybody know? Ground beef.
When a guy like Giannis, who is arguably the best player on the planet right now, goes up there and starts his press conference with a dad joke, it kind of takes you aback.
Reading from a book entitled Dad Jokes, Giannis turns his post-game media sessions into open mic night at the Comedy Store.
Okay. Why did the orange lose the race? He ran out of juice.
So he's not Jerry Seinfeld. Did Seinfeld ever average a double-double?
Threw it to himself. Oh, he's eviscerating the Celtics inside. Wow.
For Giannis, the post-game podium really is a second stage to showcase his burgeoning skills in a different arena entirely.
When the cows go out, where do they go? Anybody know? To the movies.
It's like, well played, sir, well played. I mean, that was terrible, but because it was so bad, it's the best dad joke you're going to get.
He's an entertainer, and he knows it. We eat it up. We love it.
What do you call a fake noodle?
A
impasta.
And the funniest thing about Giannis and these jokes is that nobody laughs harder than Giannis at his own jokes.
It all tells a story about his situation in Milwaukee, a saga of smaller market mutual appreciation. Fans here cherishing his Greek freak skills on the court and his curious mind off it, allowing his personality to shine.
I think that genuineness, authenticity that Giannis speaks with, plays with, really connects.
It's always an adventure. Man, between the dad jokes and the Oreos.
Who in their right minds? Who does this?
Then came the time he first discovered dipping Oreos in milk.
Bro, this is amazing, you know? So obviously I didn't have one, I had like 12 of them. And then I realized from now on, that's a every night snack for me.
That was just one of those moments where we sit back and realize, you know, some of the little things that we take for granted in life, he's still experiencing here in America for the first time.
So while not every NBA postgame presser can be a laugh fest.
Why do you care?
Even as he performs under playoff pressure, Giannis can still delight on both stages.
Why did the football coach went to the back? You guys know why? To get his quarterback.
Oh my gosh, that's too good. Big Perk, you're a dad. You have like a whole starting lineup of children. Do you have a dad joke that you think that you can hold your own next to Giannis?
You know what? I don't have dad jokes. My line is pretty much go to bed, do your homework type thing. But I did call my boy Dan Orlovsky, okay? Dan Orlovsky gave me a few.
Like he said,
he said, which cat is the least loyal?
Which?
A cheetah. I kind of like that one. Hold on. I got a few more.
Oh, okay.
I got a few more. Y'all stay still. Why did Eminem prefer the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Why?
You only get one shot.
And one opportunity. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Look, Dan. Hold on. He got one more. I'm on the road.
Let's do it.
What would the Terminator be called in his retirement?
What?
The Exterminator.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, if you want to make money, tell jokes in front of Malika. She gonna laugh for you for sure. She gonna get you some money.
First of all, who set this up, right, with this emoji at the end?
I think they're funny. I still think mine that I told on the show earlier this year was the best. Do pencils poop? Yeah, how else did you get number two pencils? Oh. That's still my favorite. It's so good. All right, before
like I said,
this is going on,
we're learning a lot today.
More NBA today after the break. You guys, it's funny.
You know what?
It's funny.
You have a good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People assume they can't afford great insurance, but State Farm has surprisingly great rates that fit any budget.
Yeah, just like people assume that we have this huge research staff that's feeding us stats.
You don't?
JJ.
Ah!
You okay?
I'm great. How are you?
It looks like you haven't slept in a week.
I think I've got it. The pick and roll is the Pythagorean theorem in reverse. Okay. You're a genius. I know.
Tune into the NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
Before the game, you have that feeling of like butterflies in your stomach. I think it's a big challenge. We like challenges.
Luka Doncic headed into the Dallas locker room. And right now, back on the floor. Doncic! Transcendent would be the word. Deep in his bag like the fries are at the bottom. Game 7 on Sunday, folks.
It's the greatest two words in sports.
We're gonna relive till the end.
Best words in basketball, in my opinion. The first game 7 of the 2022 playoffs is officially on the books thanks to a rough week for Chris Paul and the Suns. They coasted to a 2-0 series lead, but then Phoenix has dropped 3 out of its last 4 games to Luka Doncic and the Mavs, including a 113-86 loss last night in Game 6. It was the 4th straight game that CP3 failed to register more made field goals than turnovers. That's the longest streak of his postseason career. So, Pat, you were actually traded for Chris Paul. That was a deal between the Rockets and the Clippers. You battled him on the court throughout your entire career. What is the main reason that you think that things maybe have been just a little bit off over these last couple of games?
They're attacking him. They're attacking him. And J. Kidd openly said it. They're attacking him off the dribble. Luka is posting him. Jalen Brunson's attacking him. It's hard. It's hard trying to play defense, trying to create and trying to score. You know, it's hard. Two-way players are very limited in this league, and, you know, he's being tested right now.
What do you think, Matt?
I think he hit it on the head. You know, they pointed him out on the defensive end. Same thing that, you know, Phoenix has tried to do to Luka, as they've tried to point him. But, you know, Chris is 37 now. He's getting a little bit older. But, you know, over the last 4 games, he's 9 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, but also 4 turnovers. But what troubles me is he hasn't even taken more than 10 shots in any of those 4 games, but he's shooting 50% from the field and 54% from the three-point line. So to me, that kind of tells me, as Pat was touching, is he tired? You know, are they just really wearing him down? He feels like his best move is to get his other guys involved. So I feel like he really needs to step up. Obviously, role players are going to play a big part in this Game 7, but CP needs to have a big game if his team's going to advance.
I think they've taken the legs away from him. If I'm pretty sure, like, in order for him to be, like, successful at those shots, most of those shots he's taking are spot-ups. So he's not with the ball a lot. So he's not creating, exhausting a lot of energy there. So most of his shots have been spot-ups, and they're trying to use him at that point. But you could tell they're just grinding him down. It's just one of those series, the playoffs. You got to exploit the matchup, and that's the matchup.
So more about the Mavs defense rather than what Chris can do, or is it shot selection for him?
No, I just think it's more of, like, okay, we're going to go at Chris. We're going to try to make DeAndre Ayton the second leading scorer. And if I'm J. Kidd, if I'm the head coach of a team, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. If I lose that way, I hate losing, but if I lose that way, DeAndre Ayton being the leading scorer and Chris Paul struggling, I've done my job.
So all of that being said, we talked about it in the break. Oftentimes it's the team with the best player that can come out and win Game 7. But who you got?
I got to go with, you know, I just faced him last year. Boy, he was cooking me. Got to go with Luka. Got to. He's played in Game 7. I don't know, besides CP, I don't think anyone on the roster ever has played in the Game 7.
Yeah.
You know, besides, obviously, you know, JaVale McGee, but no one for sure in the starting lineup. So I have to go with Luka, man. He's been playing well, and, you know, Dallas been on the road.
Luka, hands down, is the best player in this series, and they normally say the best player in Game 7 wins, but I'm going to have to go against that move right there for just the simple fact that they're back in Phoenix. It's a crazy atmosphere, and this has really been about the role players. You know, with the stars, all CP's been struggling a little bit. The stars are going to give you what they're going to give you. Consistently, you know, Luka's going to do what he does. Book's going to do what he does. But the role players on the road for the Mavs, Bullock in Phoenix is at 8 points and 5 rebounds. Finney is at 8 points, 3 rebounds. Yep. Dinwiddie at 2 and 2. You know what I mean? So those guys have been very comfortable in Dallas, haven't fared very well in Phoenix. Again, role players are going to be important, but more important than that, CP3 has to step up in Game 7.
Role players tend to play better at home, but experience, it still matters. The winner of Game 7 between Dallas and Phoenix, they're going to face whoever comes out of that Grizzlies-Warriors
series.
Golden
State.
Golden State.
Why y'all keep playing? Golden State.
Matt, do you agree with Pat? Golden State's coming out?
Absolutely.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Golden State, yeah, fix that.
All right, it's going to be Golden State. So who do you have getting the win in San Francisco tonight? Is it done tonight, or is it going to 7?
That place is going to be electric tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be rocking. I mean, you probably can't even hear yourself speak, call out defensive coverages. So just from that standpoint, like Matt said about the Phoenix Suns, but to that standpoint, for sure.
Plus, you have to imagine that after the performance that Golden State had in Game 5, there's got to be something that clicks.
Well, the last two games, you know, you think about it, they got, they got lucky because they played bad, but it was at home and they were able to pull through. They didn't have the same luck in Memphis, but if I'm the Warriors, they've been playing with house money. They got through, and you got to stop playing with these young boys. Stop giving them confidence. You got to end it tonight because there's no telling what can happen in a Game 7 in Memphis. That's one of the loudest arenas in the NBA.
Yeah.
No job. These guys are really motivated. And Pat Bev will tell you, as role players as we were during our career, we took pride when our superstars didn't play, and we still got to win.
Yeah.
That says a lot about the team and the role players and how strong the role players are. So these guys are really bought in and are very confident. Golden State has to close the door tonight in San Francisco because because you'll never know what happened in a game seven in Memphis.
When a game seven comes into play, you don't want to
throw everything out the window.
I'm going from here, this show, to the airport because I'll be on the sidelines for that game in just a couple of hours. Still ahead, though, on NBA Today, you may have noticed some changes to the NBA's most iconic hardware. Well, we're talking trophies when we return. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
From 1947 to 1976, the NBA awarded its champion the Walter A. Brown Trophy, which is like the Stanley Cup. It went from team to team. But then, in 1977, the league introduced what's now known as the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and each team gets to keep it. So now, for the first time in 45 years, the league's iconic trophy is getting modified. The redesigned Larry O'Brien Trophy is right here alongside these other postseason trophies, and Kirk Goldsberry has more.
There's nothing more beautiful in the world. It belongs to all of you forever. Here it is, Jack and Bill.
It's the most iconic trophy in NBA history. It's the holy grail of hoops. Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer have embraced it. And for the first time since it was introduced in the 1977 finals, the NBA is giving the Larry O'Brien Trophy a makeover.
It's our 75th season, and so the idea was if you could bookend the first 75 and look forward to the next 75, what sort of things would you do to celebrate that and to reframe or reform everything that we do? And one of those things was the trophies.
The updates are the result of a unique collaboration between the league, a Los Angeles designer named Victor Solomon, and the world-famous Tiffany & Co., who has produced the Larry O'Brien Trophy for decades. We traveled to Cumberland, Rhode Island to get an exclusive peek as a world-class team of makers at Tiffany & Co. brought Solomon's new designs to life.
After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
The silhouette of the Larry O'Brien is too iconic to ever disrupt, but we felt like there were a lot of opportunities to contribute to the design and create little nuances to spin it forward. First and foremost is literally reorienting the silhouette of the trophy to be up and to the right and facing literally forward, and the seams of the ball facing forward in a way that it hadn't been before. And then we did a more literal interpretation of a basketball net on the column.
And in celebration of the 75th anniversary and the long history of champions, there was an idea to remember the past while also honoring the present.
On that top base, we put all of the previous champions. As you win going forward, your name will be etched on the second base, but you see the teams before you.
The NBA is in the midst of a major awards overhaul, reshaping and renaming some of its most important trophies after some of its most legendary players. We've already seen new trophies named after Kobe Bryant and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar unveiled, but starting this season, the league's conference championship trophies will be named after Oscar Robertson and Bob Cousy. And whoever wins the MVP of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals will take home trophies named after Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
When you think about the journey of a player or a team throughout an entire season, there's hard work that goes in from the day they picked up a basketball until the day they achieve that goal. It's really about how do we reform all these to create a family of trophies that have a relationship with each other and elevate the aesthetics of them so that those who win them can truly appreciate them.
So cool. So Steph Curry has the shortest odds to take home the Bill Russell Finals MVP at plus 275, as his Warriors are the overall title favorites at plus 220. We know Pat Bev likes that. That's according to Caesar Sportsbook. Steph's followed by Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere.
I'm
Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? No! I guess that says it all! Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN. Man, I can't wait to hit the road. We're going to have so much fun. We're also going to have fun in this final segment. Since Matt and Pat are here, I thought it would be fun to play a little game. Who said that? Matt or Pat? So I'm going to read a quote, and you guys are going to guess. I don't know if you guys are going to remember.
This has got to be PG, because I've said a lot of stuff that can't be said on NBA.
All right, let's see about this first one. Let's get to the first quote. Y'all ready? I'm trying to kill him. Simple. Things didn't go well there. They're now my enemy. I think Pat said that.
Oh.
I don't remember
who
saying
said
that,
it?
But that's what we both have said.
Yeah, who said it? Matt, you said that. My producer just told me what year that was
Pat. I would say, I just probably don't remember it, but it's something we both would say.
Okay, so, see, I thought it was Pat. All right, on to the next. Let's see who. I don't believe in disrespecting the game. I don't know. I'm going to go with Matt. Who said
I'm going with Matt.
Oh, it's Pat. I am so bad at this.
Hey, that definitely wasn't me.
Carry on to the next one. It's just culture change, and we did that. We changed the city. We changed the look of the Clippers.
Yeah, man, that's me, my guy.
I said that behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
With Lob City.
Yeah, sure. All right, Pat, ding, ding, ding. All right, one more. Y'all ready? I came to the point where I said... Was that Matt?
Yeah, you have to finish that.
is it Matt?
Sorry, kids.
Who said it? Matt. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Sorry, kids, you're hiding behind that
Rest
one.
That's a piece to my brother Cove. That's what that was about.
Yikes. Well, at least that was fun. Look, I'm kind of mad that I didn't do better at that game.
You got to have people who have more contrast because we're too similar.
Yeah,
so that really
it seems like it could have been either one of you, a little bit of toss-up.
You got Richard Jefferson, somebody else. Like
I think me and Perk could probably do it. I think that people would be surprised by the similarities. All right, that's going to do it for us. We will see you all on Monday from Chicago. NFL Live is coming up next.